All right, so how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And you?
Good, thank you. So where are we and what do you guys do? Who are you? Any questions?
We are SEPA Mobility,
okay.
A Danish company, founded in 2003. I met a guy called Tarek. He's a disabled person with a cerebral palsy.
Mm.
And he told me that he wanted to control his mobile device himself. And he has very limited motor skills. So that was a real challenge to just make something work for him. And that was just about the starting point of the project back in 2003.
Okay.
So we wrote a business plan and got a website running and tried to, you know, gather some people that could actually take this to market. And my background is from the University of Aarhus in information science. So my outset was interaction design. And then we somehow magically got a hold of Pierre.
And he's the developer and architect of the system?
Yeah, I study computer science at Copenhagen University, and I heard about these guys who were trying to make, or actually at that time I thought they had made a phone for people with disabilities, and I thought, hey, that would probably be something that I could use. And then I contacted Nils, and it turned out that he kind of showed it before it was done, if you could say that.
It was post the project.
He wrote the business plan first.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, we started talking, and I found that, hey, this was probably something that that I would be qualified for developing, or at least the software side of it. I hadn't done any mobile development, or actually not any .NET development either at that point, which we use now. So it was a pretty new world to me, but I had done other accessibility software development, such as a screen keyboard, you know, where you can type on the mouse.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then, from there it went on to just examining the world of disabled people, what they do, who surrounds them, what tools they use for interacting with the computer. And then that was my master thesis project back then in 2005. And I wrote about how to empower people with severe disabilities in the design process.
Excellent.
And that ended up with a, you know, sort of a design scheme of how did I want this to look to work the best, maximizing speed of interaction and making it possible for these people to use, you know, the functions that we use on a daily basis.
So let's talk a little bit about exactly what you guys have created.
Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit about interaction design and the more humanistic type of things, because that's my background.
Sure.
And then Pierre will engage himself, I hope, in phrases that I can understand, but I can't say them like he can. So, we have made a mobile communicator for people with motor disabilities, meaning that you interact with the mobile device in a different way than usually.
Okay.
You and me, we type with our fingers, and it goes pretty fast. But if you can only press one single button, like when you press on a doorbell, for example, it's the same principle, then you have limited ways of interacting. And then we use principles of interacting that supports the press of a single button. And actually, this mobile device that Pierre has on his wheelchair is the end product of this development process. And then Pierre, he jerks his joystick one way that simulates the one press, and then he can, you know, control everything: write SMS, receive SMS, receive phone calls, make phone calls, listen to MP3 books. He can. If Pierre didn't have a voice. He could also use the device as a speech machine. So it's both a near communicator for the near surroundings, and it's a, I don't know what you call it, a near and far communicate.
Sure, near and remote.
Yeah, near and remote, yeah, exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, you mentioned speech, right? So,
yeah.
You could talk to it as well.
No, it can talk to you.
It can talk to you.
That's the other way around. We did, in the beginning, consider speech recognition. But I don't know if you've tried any speech recognition software, but at least in English, it works pretty well when you have a huge computer with a lot of memory and a very quiet environment and a headset with an excellent microphone. And
absolutely.
You know what I mean? A lot of ideal settings, but when you do not have all these ideal settings, you're screwed. I mean, you can't really do efficient speech recognition. You can do it for some, what do you call it, predefined things, like, call this person or answer this call or something like that. But we figured that if we were going to do this, it should be for real. I mean, you should be able to control it. And when you have to do arbitrary speech recognition, like writing an SMS or something like that, it becomes very difficult, at least under these settings.
Also, in terms of our user group, the people that we cater for, a lot of these people cannot really say the same phrase exactly the same every time. So that's also something that speech recognition has as a predefined thing.
Sure.
So if a cerebral palsy person has to say call this person, it might sound different the next time he tries because he's getting muscular disorders into the voice and so on. So there's a lot of things to take into consideration.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very hard problem. So what I would ask is, you mentioned that you're using the Microsoft platform. Why did you choose that? Why did you choose .NET?
Well, let's start with the platform. Well, actually, I don't know if we should talk more about that, but one of the reasons that we chose PDA over, say, a regular cell phone was partially because of the hardware, especially at that time. It's like, 3-4 years ago, we started in those thought patterns. We realized that we did need quite a lot of processing power to accomplish what we would like with the scrolling graphics and the transparency in the graphics and a lot of stuff like that. And the cell phones at that time didn't have that kind of processing power that we needed. And another essential thing was that cell phones most of the time have a very small display, and a lot of the cell phone is buttons. And you see, since we only use one button, and that button isn't even on the phone, it's kind of a waste of space for us. We would like a phone that is all screen and no buttons instead of the other way around.
Absolutely.
Also, one of the reasons for choosing the platform and the Windows Mobile environment is that usually Symbian phones, they change a lot, the handsets, a lot faster anyway than this world. So when you have Windows Mobile 5 and now version 6, it actually has a longer lifespan to develop too than the Symbian environment, because whenever you need to test your software up against a new Symbian phone, it might have a hardware feature that is not supported or works in indigenous ways. I don't know. It's harder to get your software working on a broad scale of devices, and we've managed actually to make our software work on every mobile 5 device.
Excellent.
At least a pocket PC device, not to confuse with a smartphone.
Sure.
Yet.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So I would ask a question about accessibility. If you look at on the web and stuff, it seems to be, there doesn't seem to be any clear pattern of everybody at the same level of accessibility. So, in other words, are there stringent regulations for making accessible websites and accessible content? And when you were developing all that, I mean, just out of curiosity, it's, yeah. it seems like it's all over the map.
Well, for the website part, there's a lot of things going on, and I don't know what you call it. There's actually a whole community saying what you should do to get your website certified for blind users and users that scan and so on and so forth. Yeah. But the way we managed to do this was just to look at what principles is there for, you know, interacting in different ways, and what does our users require in terms of recognition for icons and text and text size and different colors to recognize if you can't read the text and so on and so forth. So sure. it's actually just you know, looking at the world of accessible software, hardware, and trying to, you know, make something out of it. Try to you know, boil it all together and how are we going to fit this into this device? And that was actually so this actually for a long time ago, you know, people invented scanning and it's not a new thing, the principle of interaction that we have done is just a different platform with different software. So so this it's actually a jungle also because every time you meet a different a user, he or she is different from the previous one. So they require different settings of, you know, minor things. It could be just pauses in the program, different backgrounds, different foreground colors and stuff like that.
Cool.
So I actually met a guy that was brain damaged. He could only see light green on white background. Light green text on white background.
Wow.
So if you can make your word go light green on the foreground and white in the background, yeah, that would help him. But, you know, nobody thinks like that because, you know, it's a small market. It's a niche market. So usually big companies, they, you know, they think about the broad spectrum and then it's up to us to, you know, pick up the pieces.
Cool. And you actually are writing code with one hand.
Yeah, with
amazing.
One finger.
With
say.
One finger.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. And you're not necessarily using the software that you've written for this, but you do use the software that you guys write in your daily life, right? With the phone that you have there.
Yes, yes, I use it every day.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's talk a little bit about what you've made. You mentioned that you're using the Windows CE or Windows Mobile platform, Visual Studio, and you're a big fan of IntelliSense,
absolutely,
because it helps you with this because you don't type fast, with one finger.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever use any speech recognition talking to the computer?
I do use it for plain text writing, like if I want to write a letter or something like that, but not really for coding. I saw one guy who had tried to make a plugin for Visual Studio to do coding by speech recognition. I don't think he got that far, not at least not what I saw. But generally, coding is very different from natural language which we speak, so it's not really compatible. Even though I don't write very fast with a mouse on the screen keyboard, I can still code faster than I can do with the speech recognition.
Excellent. Very cool. And so you mentioned this works on all Windows Mobile devices?
Of course.
Or the ones that have the screen?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, we kind of suggest what we think our customers should buy, or we simply just deliver the whole package.
Nice.
Because we know what the, in this case, the HP platform, how it works, what kind of funny things is about this particular platform. And right now we're changing to the HTC Touch.
Okay.
So we change with the flow, and we suggest what particular handsets people can use, but actually we made it work on I think right now 5, 6, 7 different Windows Mobile handsets. So it's not a big deal, but you know the HTC Touch has its funny things, and the HP has its little funny things.
Sure.
So it's not like a It's not like a Windows XP computer just working all the time.
Sure.
So
I guess the only real hardware requirements we do have is the first thing is that it needs a Bluetooth radio because the PDA communicates with the, our electronics with the switch. It's talked about before via Bluetooth. And the second requirement is that it has a 3x4 screen, like a QVGA or a VGA.
Okay. So this is the company that we're right here.
Yeah.
Two people.
Yeah, no, actually we're four people.
Okay.
Yeah, we got a we got an electronics engineer because we, apart from the software, we also do electronics to make the whole system work.
Excellent.
And the reason for that is that you just cannot plug a switch like, I don't know where it is. We have a switch here.
Yeah.
But a switch, you cannot plug it into a PDA just like that. Uh-huh. It simply cannot work. So we need the switch to go into an electronic device, mm-hmm. and when you press the switch, it sends a wireless signal to the PDA using the Bluetooth standard.
Excellent.
So inside Pierre's wheelchair is an electronic box, and whenever Pierre chooses to control his mobile device here on his wheelchair, whenever he jerks the joystick, the little electronic device here sends a signal to the PDA.
Excellent.
So all the PDA does right now is powering from the wheelchair.
Hmm.
So Pierre has 8,000 hours of talk time.
Yeah,
that's excellent. So now you mentioned you've read, but the C++ we were talking about off camera was for work, for school.
Yeah.
All right, not for this project.
Well, a little bit of it is written in C++, but the large main part is C#.
Excellent. And you taking advantage of some of the new features in 3.0 yet, or are you still just new?
Not in 3.0, no, but I believe we are going to do soon.
Cool. Excellent. Well, I have to say, this is a great it's a great story to see that you know this is being done. And it's really cool that you're architect and developer and writing a lot of code with one finger is also pretty amazing, man. So I thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And
I hope you'll see our product in the U.S. soon.
I hope so as well.
We got great contacts over there.
Good. So right now you're only in Europe.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And, you know, it's always a hard time getting into the U.S., approvals, you know, people have to, you know what this is all about, and
sure.
The price has to be negotiated, right? But we have contacts over there that are interested.
Excellent.
So we're working on that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, hey, great job, and keep it up.
Thank you.
And nice to meet you both.
Yes.
Same to you.